Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Greg, you may not know hockey, but the Sabres 3-1 and looking pretty solid so far. It looks like a fun team, even though they may or may not be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And for a hockey neophyte, it's been entertaining. You can, for someone... I think some people assume it's a shtick, and I'm just playing into it. I genuinely have no idea what's going on when I'm watching hockey. But I will say, I'm into my second season of it now. I'm obviously picking up things that are going on. You can tell the difference of the guys moving, the energy, the speed at which they're playing, and the approach to it is a much more entertaining product for someone who doesn't understand the finer points of it. So at least it's more fun watching this year. Last year was a bit of a chore.
Oh, yeah, no, you don't got to tell me that, man. I'm very familiar in the route of that misery. But I do enjoy watching you tweeting about the games because, like you said, like I know that you genuinely just don't know about hockey and you want to enjoy it. So hats off to you, and it's always fun to watch someone becoming a fan, even watching such a terrible product as the Buffalo Sabres have been. But I didn't have you on here to talk about how you don't know hockey. I was here to bring you on because you do know about football, and the Bills are on the bye week, and my head almost exploded last hour. So I need to talk to someone again so that I can calm down. but if you missed it, it was... callers decided, hey, we're going to bring some chaos about Brian Daboll. So that was fun. And now, though, we're going to get back on track here, and we're going to talk about the team and how you think they've been doing so far with a 4-2 start as they head into the bye week, Greg.
So obviously, you know, I think that if you ask people ahead of time what the record's going to be at the bye, obviously you have some people that said, oh, 6-0, we're going to win every game. I think 4-2 is probably a pretty common response there with, you know, a tough game at the opener and then two road games against teams we lost to last year in week 5 and week 6. I think that as the season had come along and having, you know, so many fans had the approach of, I'll believe the Bills can beat the Chiefs when I see the Bills beat the Chiefs. And, you know, for good reason. We hadn't seen it. So seeing that and then in, you know, Arrowhead with a dominant win, fans were rightful to feel confident and feel good and to say, you know, I think my team is the best team in the NFL. We were, you know, trying to tell fans that, hey, it's only one game out of 17. It does matter, you know, for tiebreakers and things like that. But in the grand scheme of things, if we beat the Chiefs, it doesn't mean they can't beat us in the playoffs. If we lose to the Chiefs, it doesn't mean we can't beat them in the playoffs. It's the same thing for the Titans. I get it. That was a weird, fluky game. We played against a team that needed no holding calls on a 76-yard touchdown. We got holding calls on a 101-yard touchdown. A ball bouncing off of our Pro Bowl safety's helmet. You know, the tip passes that go up in the air for Josh Allen got picked off. Four tip passes go up in the air for Tannehill. None of them get picked off. They needed all those things to go in their favor, and the Bills still had the ball at the 2-yard line going in to win the game with 13 seconds left. So I get it that it's frustrating. I get it. There's a lot of nits to pick on, hey, we could have done this and could have done that. This is a darn good team that all those things went against us, and they were still there to beat a playoff caliber 4-2 team. It should be more reassuring than it is frustrating, but it was frustrating to watch.
Yeah, and it was frustrating to watch. And the question that I asked Matt Parrino in the last hour, and I'll ask it to you as well, Greg, that game in particular against Tennessee, it was it managed to be both of these things to me. They deserved to lose that game because of the goal line woes, how bad the defense was playing overall in the second half. But at the same time, they also lost on a total fluke. One of the best quarterback sneak guys that there is in the entire league. And the next thing you know, he slips on a 4th-and-1. Like, what are the odds? So it's to me that
I
one.
I can tell you the odds. It was 9 of his last 10, and I think 15 of his last 17. So pretty good odds that he wouldn't slip.
Yeah, and that was it. Like, he slipped. It's just so fluky that you managed to lose like that when you could look at so many other reasons as to why they lost the game, but that was the final one. Like, that was the final play, and it just ended up being, all right, well, we just lost in the weirdest way possible, going ahead and taking the Hail Mary and saying, hold my beer. So, and Zach brought it up saying that we just lose games in weird ways heading into bye weeks. So,
well, and a way to step back and look at it is if anyone remembers the last 20 years, some of the infuriating confidence that Patriots fans would have after a loss where they would just brush it off and be like, eh, that's fine. We'll probably beat you next time. We need to start being like that. The Bills are good. They're not going to go undefeated. They're not going to go 17-0. They're going to lose some games here or there. But guess what? The rest of the way out of the 11 games, the Bills are going to be favored in 10 out of 11 games. They're really, really good. They're going to win the vast majority of those. We need to stop living each game as a referendum on, well, does our offensive coordinator know what he's doing? Is Josh Allen really a franchise quarterback? Does our coach, is he aggressive enough to be able to do these things? Yes, yes, yes. It's okay. They're not going to go undefeated. It still hurts. It's frustrating. We need to carry ourselves with a bit more confidence that this team's really, really good, but it doesn't mean they're going to go undefeated and never lose a game ever.
Yeah. Like, even the great teams lose a couple games in a season. And looking at the schedule the rest of the way, I don't know if the Bills lose any more than 2 throughout the rest of this stretch. So, hey, 13-4. That's a really great team. They have 4 losses. Oh, well. Like, that's the worst-case scenario for this team, it looks like, from according to that schedule. It is the NFL. Any team can beat any team. But, like you said, we do need to develop a little bit more of this a bit of arrogance that we are going to be able to get them back, or we are going to be able to tag back on that. Because one of the big narratives, Greg, and I asked this earlier, is, oh, now the Titans are a bad matchup for the Bills in the playoffs. I just need everyone to be able to help me out and say that's a little ridiculous, and no, it's not.
So Derrick Henry is a bad matchup for every human in the NFL. There is no other person in the NFL who says, oh, I'm not worried about that 6'3", 250-pound freight train coming toward me. Micah Hyde threw, you know, his body in the way. God bless him. Do you know how much respect he earned seeing a full head of steam Derrick Henry coming at him? And there would have been a lot of business decisions around the rest of the NFL doing that thing where you kind of jump to the side and then grab on and kind of try to hope to trip him or just ride him to the ground. No, Micah Hyde said, no, I'm not afraid of you. I might get crumpled here, but I'm going to put my body in the way. And he did. He made the tackle. It wasn't the most graceful thing on earth, but he threw his body in there. I think that little microcosm of the game shows they're not afraid of what's going on here. If they were afraid of him and afraid of that team, sure, then I'm concerned about it. If they go at it again, you want to know what? Derrick Henry breaks tackles. If you took away you only gave Derrick Henry credit for the yards after contact, he'd still lead the NFL in rushing. That's how good of a season he's having. Now, that's like when you go to play the Chiefs. Well, Tyreek Hill's a terrible matchup. You can still have a strategy to stop him. When you play the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's a terrible matchup. You can still have a strategy to stop him. They will have a strategy to stop him. They will be able to go in it. To be honest, I think they maybe went away from it towards him too much in the second half and gave up some of the passing things. Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier have shown the willingness to adapt and to shift to those things. They'll learn from it. If they play the Titans again, I think the Bills will be favored. I think the Bills should win the game, but the Titans are a good team. It's okay that good teams play well against you. It's the way that it works. I don't think that there's some like magical bad matchup, just like the Chiefs weren't some boogeyman before they went into Arrowhead and smoked Kansas City there. It's just that, yeah, they had a couple games go their way. The Titans have had some fluky plays go their way 2 games in a row. if they play again and they played 10 times, I think the Bills would win 8 out of 10.
Yeah, Greg, you're absolutely right. Greg Thompson, Cover One, joining us here on the Westhead Hotline. So looking back on it, the two losses that the Bills have incurred so far this season are against division winners who had double-digit wins last year. So it's not like they're losing to a random team that doesn't have a track record in recent years. The Steelers won the AFC North last year. The Titans won the AFC South last year and put a beat down on the Bills that made a Tuesday night so miserable for us that we all just figured give up at halftime and stop watching. The team's fine, and everything's been okay. So, Greg, enough about the sunshine, though, about this team and, like, everything's golden. I do want to see what are areas of this team that you would like to see improve overall on this Bills team so that some of those fans that are a little panicky, they can calm down.
So obviously the biggest one is, so it's the biggest concern, and it also should be the biggest area for hope.
If you say Brian Daboll, I'm jumping out a window.
It is the red zone offense and execution. Now, I think there's a mix there for anyone who saw some of the breakdowns. You know, it wasn't Josh's best game in the red zone. There were some open guys in the end zone ready to catch touchdown passes, and Josh just missed them. He didn't see them. Now, you know, I think the offensive line gave up a little too much pressure. Josh was having to scramble and break out and roll out. It's understandable, but those are plays that, you know, if I'm going to also call him an MVP candidate and a franchise quarterback and a top five quarterback in the league, I need you to see those guys. I need you to see them break open in the end zone. Now, on those plays, Brian Daboll schemed that up for Emmanuel Sanders to come open. Brian Daboll schemed it up for Stephon Diggs to sit down in the right spot in the zone and catch touchdown passes. And if Josh hits them, it's 14-0 instead of 6-0, and we're praising Brian Daboll for his play calls. Now, later, there were other that I put on Daboll that I think he didn't, you know, put them in the best position to succeed. It's not either or for me. So far, we've had a mix of bad luck, some, you know, some things where Josh has shown the ability to convert on those things, some areas we probably got too cute in the play calling. But all those things said, we're still number two in the NFL in scoring by 3 points, one of only two teams with over 200 points. So if we're griping about how poor the red zone offense is and we've also scored 200 points, math and trends would tell you in the second half of the season, that's going to start going our direction. Stephon Diggs is still really good. Emmanuel Sanders is still really good. Those are things that can and should turn around, but they need to. Brian Daboll needs to have a better plan when they're getting in close. Josh needs to keep a little cooler head. The offensive line needs to give him another half a beat to be able to keep his senses and see the guys breaking open on these good play calls and these good routes being run. And then you can convert more of those for touchdowns, which is scary when you're talking about, you know, that's 3 games now where we beat the Dolphins 35-0, the Texans 40-0, and put up 31 points on the Titans. Those 3 games equaling 106 points in 3 games, and everyone's takeaway is, man, what's wrong with the offense? Shouldn't we be better than this? I mean, how did we only score 106 points? This is pitiful. Like, do you understand what a different stratosphere we are in as a fan base now than the previous 20 years? It's unbelievable that 35-0, 40-0, and 31 points on the Titans. And our takeaway is, man, this just isn't good enough. I don't get it.
And part of it, Greg, it looks like it's a bit of a two-pronged thing, is how well the defense has been playing overall. Despite the 34 points that they let up on Monday night, they still lead the league in points per game, points against per game. And they're still second in the league in points for. Oh, man, the offense dropped from 1 to 2. That's the problem, right?
Well, and I, for anyone who thought that this was all of a sudden the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens, we never were. Those metrics were because of the schedule. And now what you should do against a poor schedule, you should dominate them, and they did. That's all you can do. You can't set the schedule, but you should beat down bad teams. They've done that. Now, in this game, there was definitely a couple things. If you're going to have any gaps in tackling, Derrick Henry is the number one player in the NFL who's going to, you know, show that. Some of the other stuff was still pretty fluky. I don't think there were a lot of, like, gaps that teams are going to say, oh, I got the blueprint now. We throw the ball 45 down the field, bounce it off Micah Hyde's helmet, and have our guy toe tap at the sideline. That's the blueprint to beat the Bills. You know, I don't know that all of a sudden it exposed some flaw, but I always thought, hey, I think we could be back to that 2018-2019 Bills defense that was a top 4-8 unit in the NFL. They weren't dominant. They weren't the best in the league by far, but they were pretty darn good. If you add in a very good offense, which we obviously have with the gripes we were just joking about, and now you add in a pretty good defense, you could be onto something special. I think that's what we have. I don't think we were ever going to be a historic defense that just kind of looked that way because of the cupcake schedule. And now I think we're going to level back into that. And honestly, with the schedule coming up here, we're probably going to look dominant again for a little bit. And then against the good teams, the Buccaneers, maybe the Saints, maybe the Panthers, you know, we'll probably have some normal performances where teams can score some points. But this is a good defense, and I don't think the Tennessee game changes my opinion on that. They were always good. They were never amazing. They're still going to be good. They're probably not going to be amazing.
You know, you talk about cupcakes, like, yeah, I'm going to be fat and happy with the upcoming schedule here with some of the matchups the Bills are going to have coming up here. Greg, one of the more fascinating points about this team, though, has been the evolution of Dawson Knox, which we saw happening late last season, and now him blossoming into the leading touchdown. He leads the team in touchdowns. He leads all tight ends, actually, in the NFL in touchdowns with 5. Knox's play, how have you seen it so far this year? And perfect timing, of course. He breaks his hand. But, you know, adding that dimension to this offense and what his impact has been so far.
I always try to be even-handed with things. I certainly don't have any problem patting myself on the back when I make good calls. One of my biggest whiffs was Dawson Knox coming into this year. I was the proponent of, hey, I hope Dawson Knox develops and gets consistency and catches the ball, but hope is not a plan. I want a backup plan at tight end. Dawson Knox has proven me wrong 5 times over with his performance so far. He has taken that step forward. He's shown that the athletic profile that so many others believed in, that if he could help it click, he could be really special. He's playing special and looks really, really good. Obviously, I guess in hindsight, I wish I had been accidentally right and they still would have got that backup plan because they put that guy in right now. But Dawson Knox has looked really exciting. He was a guy, if you believe in things like the RAS score, those relative athletic scores, you know, he's very literally up in that Darren Waller, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, you know, lofty heights from an athleticism standpoint. He just couldn't, you know, keep the focus to catch football and needed to be able to do that more consistently. You know, he obviously has shown you talked about his work with the hand-eye coordination specialist doing the color-coded ping pong ball training and things like that, going to tight end university, putting that work in, being humble and coachable, all those things you want to hear out of an athletic marvel like he is. He's really put those things together here. It's been exciting. Now you joke about a guy who had trouble catching the ball. He figures it out, and now he breaks his hand. You know, it's Murphy's Law. Yep. I hope, like everybody else, I've heard things at the high end that this could be a 4 to 6 week thing. I hope it's not that long. But honestly, if it's a bye week and then we come out Dolphins, Jags, Jets, you know, put it on ice, man.
Sit him down, yeah.
We can probably handle the Dolphins, the Jags, and the Jets without you. You know, you go ahead and get right and come back when you're ready. I feel confident from everything that I've read and other injury people. You know, I'm a big fan of Kyle Trimble, who does banged up Bills. Guys like that I don't think there's any concern that he's not going to be ready for the stretch run. The Bills have erred on the side of caution. If there's any reason not to play a guy, they usually lean that way. So I'm going to guess we don't see him for a couple weeks here. But he seemed confident in the social media posts I've seen saying he's going to be right back out there. Most of the things I've heard are at the high end, it's 4 to 6 weeks. I think we might miss him for a little bit, but he's shown to be a critical piece of this offense now and someone that I'm pleasantly happy to be wrong about being excited to have him back.
Hey, man, it's always good to be able to point out the things that you don't get either, because, like, it shows that, you know, you're humble. Like this Bills team, humble and hungry, you know. So, hey, sometimes, but that also allows you, if you're the first person to point it out, that means you better be the first person to pop off when you're right. So I'm for that.
I appreciate it. That's my energy right there. I certainly don't have any problem bringing attention to the calls I make, right? But you got to take your medicine when you miss one.
Exactly, and it makes it feel all that much better. So, Greg, enjoy the bye week. Enjoy just watching football or doing whatever, or not watching football if you don't feel like it on your Sunday. So enjoy your time off for the bye week, and then we'll see you back at it on Twitter. Tell the good people where to hear you, where to find you.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Anytime I could jump on, appreciate your time, Derek. You can find me on Twitter at Greg Thompson. Find me on the Cover One Network. You can find our YouTube channel where my show is doing our preview show Wednesday nights and our post-game shows after the game. Come and find me anywhere there. Always having a good time on Twitter with Bills fans. But appreciate your time today. It was awesome.
He's always having a good time on Twitter with Bills and Sabres fans. So that's Greg Thompson. Greg, thank you for joining me here on this Bills at the Bye Outlook on Sports Talk Saturday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.